So today I'm going to be talking about, can anybody guess?
God.
About God, yeah. About remembrance. You're both right. You're not wrong there. We're talking about remembrance. And it is, as we've just observed, Remembrance Sunday. And I was thinking about this, and like I was saying earlier, on Friday I went to bed and I was like, Lord, I cannot go into Saturday morning not having a clear direction of what you want me to talk about. I knew the theme was remembrance. Duh. I knew he wanted me specifically to talk about remembrance. I didn't want to, Paul, because I thought, that's so cliche. Mm-hmm. You know, the theme for this year is go, and I was thinking, okay, let me try and spin it fancy, and he was like, no, talk about remembrance. Oh my God, talk about remembrance then. And I went to bed, and I prayed, and I said, listen, by the time I wake up tomorrow morning, Lord, I need you to have told me something, because I can't do this without you. And every Saturday morning, I wake up at 6 o'clock, and I join a bunch of ladies, and we pray for a few hours. And surely not, before 6 o'clock, he gave me a dream with two specific scriptures and exactly what I was supposed to talk about. And I was like, all right, that's great. Now what am I supposed to talk about? So I woke up on Saturday, did my thing, and started writing some notes. But up until this morning, as my wonderful friend Natalie, he didn't want you to know what you had to talk about, because he's still talking to you, and that's true. He's still talking to me about what he wanted to talk to me about. I want to start by sharing some information about memory, because I thought this was quite cool. Yeah, so here's some random facts, chance. Memory is reconstructive. It's not photographic. So in other words, when we have a memory, we're not seeing a picture. It's more like putting a piece of a puzzle together. We're actually recreating the event in our mind and rebuilding them every single time we recall them. I thought that was fascinating. We don't just store it like, old. I mean, how many people here remember VHS? You know, when you had to record something on the telly? Yeah? It's not like, you young people don't know anything about that. You young people, nothing. But we used to, if we wanted to watch something again, Phil would know this because he was a media studies student, you'd have to record it. And then you just press play, right, Pauline, and you'd see it. Our memories don't work like that. You've got to literally piece them together. And that means that sometimes, mid-piecing together, we might change things. And so as a therapist, this is why we tell people we can't really trust our memories fully. We can, but we can't. We've got to really be discerning to think about whether what it is we're remembering is actually what we're remembering, what happens. The other really interesting thing about memory that I know very well is that we forget things really fast. Really, really, really fast. There was a study in 1885, this is a long time ago, that said that 50 to 70% of people forget 50 to 70% of new information within 24 hours. I mean, for people studying, that blows my mind. 50 to 70% in 24 hours. And up to 90% of our memories are lost within the first week if we don't reinforce it. Thought that was really interesting. Emotion is the glue of our memories. So whenever we have an emotionally charged event, these things are generally encoded much deeper in our brains so that the recall is generally more apt. That's why trauma, we know, science shows us, trauma is not the thing that happens. Trauma is what happens after. It stays in our body. So if something is charged with emotions, good or bad, we remember them much more correctly, much more intensely. Memory has infinite storage, goes on forever, which is why sometimes I pull up something from 19, not that I shouldn't know, but I do know. You know, when that earworm comes and you think, where the heck did that come from? Some random phrase that Natalie and I might have used when we were five, I don't know. In St. Lucia, my friend Natalie is here, I'm going to use her today. And it comes up out of nowhere. But we have limited retrieval. So the human brain has been estimated to have a storage capacity equivalent to 2.5 petabytes. That's about 3 million hours of telly. That's madness. I don't know if I could watch 3 million hours of telly, although one of my wonderful friends and family members seems to be challenging that every day. But our retrieval depends on context and cues, not the capacity. That's why we know that some dementia patients, if you tap in to something that has a deep resonance with them, they'll suddenly come alive. No matter how far advanced the dementia is, there is something. It might be a song, it might be a touch, it might be something. Because the storage is infinite. I'll share two more and then I'll get into what I actually want to talk about. Stress shrinks and shapes our memories. False memories are alarmingly easy to implant, which is why the Bible tells us what, Paul? Be careful of false teachers. Which is why we have to be on our guard, which is why we have to guard our heart. Because it ain't hard to place some nonsense in our hearts, babe, and it stays there. You suddenly, you're on the right track. Someone comes, plants a seed, Chris. Sounds great. And suddenly the right track vanishes, and you're on the wrong track. False memories, false information, really easy to implant. They actually researched this, not me, but someone researched it and shows that 30 to 40% of people can form entirely false memories of events that never happened through suggestive questioning. Don't you remember that? You were there. That's not true. There it said this, there it said that, that person said this. Don't you remember? The car was blue. No, it was never a car at all. It was a bicycle. But yet still, we think that it's true. And the last one that I want to share is that memory is multisensory and embodied. In other words, our memory is made up of all of our psychosomatic responses. It starts here, but it ends up in the body. Psycho in the brain, somatic in the body. So we have the memory of touch, which is why blind people, if they lost their sight during their life, they can use their hands to think of and to see what somebody feels like and know what they look like. Smell triggers. Have you ever walked into a place and, oh, that reminds me of when I was a little girl eating rock cakes in my grandmother's kitchen? I don't know, whatever. So memory is multisensory and embodied. It stays with us in our system. Anyway, I thought those were interesting. Maybe I'm just a geek. But when I was thinking about this idea of remembrance, I was actually amazed that God remembers. So when we talk about us remembering, it's not some random thing, oh, let's just put on Remembrance Sunday. God remembered from the beginning of time. One of the earliest places I can remember God talking about remembrance is with the flood story. Do we know how we know that God remembered about the flood story? Anyone? The rainbow. Thanks, Paul. God put a rainbow in the sky after the flood waters receded to remind himself and us that he will never again wipe the world out by flood. And I thought, wow, God remembers us. There's another passage of scripture that says, as far as the east is from the west, he will remove our sins and remember them no more. I thought, wow, God, you're cool. And then I started thinking about, why is it that human beings need to be reminded to remember? And this is where God hooked me in my dream and woke me up and said, this is what you are to talk about. Why we need to remember. And there are quite a few things, actually. I had to really condense it because of time. But I'm going to bring out the first three, see where we are for time, and then I'll see if we can bring out some more. The first one is because of cognitive overload. In other words, there's too much going on in our brains. So remembering the things of God and remembering things is important because our brains are overloaded and we need to be reminded in the midst of life's challenges. You see, life becomes noisy. Young people will say, and of which I am one, life is lifing. Is that right? Did I get that right?
We remember how many birthdays you
have. Yeah.
Shh, don't say that. Life is lifing when you remember how many birthdays you have. Life gets noisy. Reminders help us to refocus. You know, I was trying to find how many times the word remember or remembrance shows up in the Bible, and there are so many different counts. Some people say it's over 200, almost 300. Some people say it's thousands. There's no definitive answer to how many times the Bible asks us to remember things. The bottom line is it's a lot. The Israelites alone, when they were doing their 9-day hike, well, it wasn't 9 days, it was 40 days, 40 years, because they were too stubborn, because they didn't remember the fact that they came out of slavery in Egypt, they constantly had to be reminded. They were constantly asking for a sign. Do this, do that. No, they forgot that they were worshipping idols and being used as slaves. And what did? They melted down all of their gold and they created new idols for themselves. They got busy doing absolutely nothing in the desert. They forgot that God fed them with manna and quail. They forgot. So they spent 40 years doing a 9-day journey. Can you imagine? That just seems long for no reason. And, you know, this is one of the scriptures that God gave me about remembrance when he gave me that dream. It's in Deuteronomy. It says, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. That's what that verse says. But it also says, remember the Lord your God. Here it's specifically talking about wealth. But what else has the Lord given you the capacity to do that we haven't remembered? You know, we sang the song, Be Still, for the presence of the Lord. Sometimes we just need to stop life-lifing, the busyness, the noise, turn it off, and just remember that God is God. Here's another one. Competing priorities. We have competing priorities. I need to clean the house, remember to try to do the shopping, feed the cats, have a wash. What clients am I seeing today? When? No. Where am I supposed to be? What point in time do I need to prepare my sermon? When do I call my friends? Oh, I haven't spoken to my parents for 2 weeks. That's really bad. Haven't checked on my kids. The list goes on and on. You put yours in the mix there. You have one or 12. Yeah? We have competing priorities, things that are always fighting for our attention. And it's hard. I want to catch up on all my favorite telly. You know that however many million hours of memory. I want to convert that into television watching time. It's never going to happen in my lifetime, but you know, I could try. But I just don't have enough hours in the day. Reminders in my phone that I have, and my little, thank heavens for my watch that beeps at a few minutes to six so that I can get up for prayer. Otherwise, I'll just sleep. Last time I spoke about surrendering. I would just stay in my bed. So remembering the priority of things, what's important, is really crucial. Reminders help us to reorder our priorities when we drift towards things that are of lesser importance. Communion like this is itself a reminder of what's important. It's like a sacred cue of the fact that the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together and to do life together. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the television watching hours. Yes, Victoria? Seek first the television hours? Is that what it says? Seek first my breakfast. Me? No? Who knows? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else will follow. And in Luke 22:19, which is a famous one that we use during communion, it says, do this in remembrance of me. The next one that I want to talk about is spiritual or symbolic reasoning. We need to remember the covenant of God and what our identity is. Reminders can help us to do that. You know, like I said at the beginning, God modeled remembrance to us. You know, it's interesting. There's this scripture that I absolutely love. It says, he writes our names on the palm of his hands. Have you ever put a note on the palm of your hand? If you've ever done that, tell me. Why did you do that, Allison?
So I remember.
Where did we get that idea from? Didn't know we got it from God, did we? We just saw someone doing it one day. But scripture tells us that he writes our names. He writes our names on the palm of his hand. My name is in the palm of the hand of the Creator, that when he goes, ay, Dios mio, he sees Natalie Green. When he says, "Oh, flood waters," Natalie Green. When he says, "I did this to Sodom and Gomorrah, these people are worse than Sodom and Gomorrah," Casey Ann. When he says, "She just sassed out her mom big time, snuff her out," Sean Green. That's my sister-in-law, by the way. I'm picking on her today. When he sees he didn't go to church 5 Sundays in a row, I need to poke him. Paul Clark. That's never going to happen with Paul Clark, by the way. But how amazing is that? How amazing is it that God himself remembers? Not because he forgets. He doesn't remember because he forgets. The word says, he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. He remembers so that he models and demonstrates his covenant to us. He reminds me, you were a wretch. So when you see the man in the street, yesterday Natalie and I went to buy some bread. And I parked a little bit too close to a woman in the supermarket parking lot. And I opened my door a little bit too slowly. Literally, it was slow. And my car door barely touched her car door. But before the word "go" sounded, she got out of her car and ran towards me and started saying some nice things about how I hit her car. I did not hit her car. I promise you not to hit it. And when she looked over and saw Natalie, she quickly piped down because she thought I was alone. Now, Natalie and I were just talking about the Lord, so I couldn't say, "Excuse you?" I said, "It's okay. Could you just please check to make sure that you're satisfied that I didn't scratch the car?" And she wasn't very happy, and she went back to her car. But you see, in that moment, I really wanted to say, "Listen, woman, my car is worth more money than your car, so I'm not fitting to scratch your car because my husband will strangle me if I scratch your car." I wanted to say that, Allison, but I didn't say it. I just asked her nicely to check to see if she was happy, because I remembered that I am a wretch, and I have to preach tomorrow morning, and the Holy Spirit will deal with me ever so severely if I say what I want to say to this woman in the parking lot. That shut me up real quick. It shut me up before I even wanted to speak. I remembered where I was and who I was. You see, in Exodus 20, again, I told you that from the beginning God's been reminding us. He said, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." If I wasn't coming to church today and I didn't have Natalie in the car, I genuinely don't know what I would have said, because I didn't actually hit the woman's car. I might have said more, I might have said less. But I'm grateful to the Lord that in that moment he reminded me who I was and where I was. Amen. God is great like that. He doesn't ask us to do anything that he hasn't done himself. How amazing it is that a God who is sovereign, who is king over all, demonstrates the things that he wants us to do to show us how to do it. We spoke about surrender last time, and I said, listen, we only surrender because Jesus did it first. And scripture tells us he surrendered his life to death. I love when the Bible does this. He surrendered his life to death, not just any death, just die. Death on a cross. Not just death on a cross, because think about the other two guys on the other two crosses. They just put them there and that was it. They did some horrific things to him first. Like, horrific. Like some things we want to try to censor. I think Paul and I have spoken about this in the past. We try to dumb down what they did to Jesus before they put him on the cross, to make it more palatable. You know, to make it prettier. Because the truth is that we can't handle the truth of what they did to Jesus before they put it. We can't handle the truth. If it was happening today, the most hardened of criminals would look away. The most gruesome of gruesome criminals would look away if they were standing watching what was done to Jesus. It was that unforgivable. But he demonstrated what surrender looks like. So that we could say, "Here I am, Lord, use me." We have a little bit of time, so I'll give you another one. Behavioral reinforcement. Building holy habits. We need to remember the Lord because we have some bad habits. I have some bad, let me talk, you people are saved and sanctified. I am still working out my salvation with fear and trembling, Bernie. So let me talk about me. I have some bad habits. I need behavioral modification surgery, which is surgery of the heart. So you know how we set reminders to go to the gym? Maybe you do, I do sometimes. You know how maybe we set reminders to wake us up and alarms to wake us up to go to school? We need to set reminders to adjust our behavior spiritually. We need to build some holy habits. Hebrews 10:24 says, now let us consider how we might spur each other on toward love and good deeds. Hey, let me sit down with Christine and plot how we're going to take down our neighbor's fence so we can steal a bit of her land. Nope. Let us consider how we might spur each other, one another, toward love and good deeds. But sometimes I sit there and I think about how I'm going to sass that woman in the car park if I were to see her again. And how I'm going to be ready. You know, when I was a girl growing up in the Caribbean, I went to an all-girls school. I hated it. Because the girls were very aggressive and they would fight. And they would do this really cool thing. I look back at it now and I say, cool. Whenever they got ready to fight with each other, they would take their uniform skirts and they would tuck it under their knickers. Do you know what I mean? No. They didn't have sleeves, but they'd pull up their sleeves, take their earrings out, and they'd be calm. Sometimes I have that posture in my heart. I'm ready for you. Come, bring it to your words. And I heard something yesterday that someone said. She said she realized that she was talking about the worst in her heart, and the Holy Spirit asked her, why have you got a worst in your heart? Anyway. And I was like, mic drop. Why have we got a worst in our heart? We're not supposed to have a worst in our heart. We need some behavioral modification. We need reminders to pray continuously. We need reminders to give generously. We need reminders to love your neighbor as yourself. That's me. You know, we need reminders. We need reminders that this is not our church. This is God's church.
Amen.
Sorry, I went there, Allison. We need reminders that there are no egos in life. You check them at the door, you take them back and home with you. I need reminders because I've got a big one. You, like I said, you people are saved and sanctified. And I praise God for that. We need emotional and relational regulation. We need to remember love and compassion. You know, David was great at this. David, the psalmist and the king. A man who completely messed up and God called him. He's a man after my own heart. And I think he's a man after your own heart. And he killed someone and stole their wife. Seriously? Okay, there's hope for me yet, then, Allison. He did what? Okay, there's hope for me. In Psalm 103:2, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. God loved us so much, and we do not love each other. We only love the people that look like us, sound like us. We don't like the people that don't think the same thing as us. We don't like the people that don't dress like us. We don't like the people down the road because they drink a little bit too much and they cuss too much. We don't like the people down the road because they believe in something different to us and their sexual orientation is different to ours. We don't like them because they're older, because they're younger. Sometimes when I see the young people with their flat stomachs, I don't like them much either, but that's another story altogether. And yet we have the benefit of God forgiving us and saying, you are a man and a woman after my own heart. You can be. Just come. Just go love your neighbor. Just go feed the orphans. Just go deal with the widows. Help them. Befriend them. Just go give shoeboxes to kids halfway around the world that don't have anything. We need somebody to remind us to be generous. We need somebody to remind us to be kind and to smile and to say thank you. We need a reminder to not leave someone on their own all day long and all night long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 366 days a year. I mean, and God is, never leaves us, never forsakes us. He gives us generously out of his abundant storehouse. We need reminders. Yes, we need reminders because we're humans. So we need emotional and relational regulation. We need a reminder to tell someone, I forgive you for stepping on my toe. I forgive you because you didn't hug me last week at church. You didn't say happy birthday to me, so I ain't talking to you. We need a reminder to forgive them when God forgives us. How can it be? How can it be that this is us? Who are we? Who am I? Who am I when I know that there's one person in my life I'm struggling to forgive? I'm being honest. The Bible says to confess your sins one to another. There's one person I can't forgive. I'm struggling. They did something awful. And the Lord's been bothering me about forgiving. I'm like, not yet. And he says, when? And my friends tell me, how are you going to work with those people in your clinic? How are you going to tell them what to do or not do? And the Lord says, if not you, then who? We need an adjustment and regulation of our emotions and our relationships. We need it. So when the next time Remembrance Sunday comes along, and I'm sitting here trying to think of, you know, Remembrance Sunday for those who died. Yes, I will remember those who died, but I will remember the one who died for me. I need a reminder every day. And every day I need to remember from the time I wake up in the morning that he died for me, because I tell you what, I tell my husband all the time, if it hadn't been for the cross, if I wasn't a Christian, I would be an awful human being. An awful human being. And I am a Christian and I am an awful human being. Not because I want to be an awful human being, but because that's the nature of our flesh. We don't want to do something for someone else unless we have a benefit from it. We want to live transactionally. We don't want to live relationally. You know, we look at people that go to therapy and they say, you are bad. You must have done something. No. Some people are not going to confession and they're not going to relation. They're not going to church because they're bad. They're going to church because they realize they're just human. We need reminders every day of the one who died for us. You know, I said at the beginning that God remembered first. He remembered his covenant of faithfulness to us. He remembered his compassion to us every day. He remembers his redemption of us. Christ did not come into the world to save the people who are already good. He didn't come to condemn the world. There is no condemnation for you if you are in Christ Jesus. He remembers his compassion and his redemption. He remembers that we are his children. He remembers the sacrifice of his son. So when he sees us, he doesn't see us. He sees Jesus before he sees us. And he says, okay, I'll give them another chance. You know, remembrance is tied to obedience. And obedience is tied to a promise. If we don't remember something, we won't obey. You know, it's like kids, you teach them, don't touch the fire. Touch the fire, mommy. Me, touch fire, fire, nice, ouch. Don't touch the fire. But the fire is pretty, mommy. Touch the fire, ouch. Until one day, the fire really becomes an ouch and they stop touching the fire, right? Obedience comes with a promise. If you don't touch the fire, like mommy told you 20 times, you won't get burnt. That's a promise. It says in Deuteronomy 7, 9, he has remembered his covenant of love to 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations. Not one. We haven't lived 1,000 generations yet. I don't know if we have. I don't know who does math. Who's a history person? I don't know. I don't think we've lived 1,000 generations, so God's promises are still in remembrance. God's remembrance is personal and intimate. In Psalm 8, it says, "What is man that you, O God, are mindful of us?" Nothing. We're nothing, and yet he remembers us. In Isaiah 49, it says, "Can a mother forget her nursing child? Yet I, God, will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands." God's remembrance is a reciprocal invitation. He remembers so that we should remember. God's remembrance invites a response from us. I will never look at Remembrance Sunday the same again. Ever. Why I haven't looked at it like this before? Beyond me. The first time I preached in Pitsi, I spoke about the word becoming flesh. This is a word becoming flesh moment. Until the Lord reveals it to you in the way that you need to know it, you will never know it. No matter how many times you read a scripture, until he takes it, breaks it, lets it bleed into your life, lets it mingle with your flesh and blood, it will never become flesh and blood to you. So my prayer for us today and this week is as we go into a week of remembrance, because Remembrance Day is actually the 11th, right? And today is only the 11th. So on the 11th, when you sit and brush your teeth and you're having your cake or whatever you're doing, and you sat on the toilet, whatever you're doing, yes, if you're sat on the toilet, remember Jesus. He sat on a toilet too someday, one day. May not have looked like your toilet, but he would have gone to the toilet. He did those things. So if that's the only time you have in your day, chance, just spare a thought for Jesus. Because life be life thing, right? So sometimes we get busy. You ain't too busy when you're sitting on the loo. You ain't doing nothing else. There's somebody in here, and I need to talk about remembering Jesus on the loo. I'll mention it. We're weird like that. But I pray that you will remember the finished work of the cross in you. And remember even more so that the work isn't finished yet. What does it tell us about working it out? He who began a good work in me will be faithful to his promise and remember to complete it. My words added, until the day of his returning. Father, I thank you so much that you don't just ask us to do weird things like celebrate Remembrance Sunday. That you don't ask us to do weird things like forgive each other. You show us how to do all things. And Lord, more than that, you remember your covenant promises to us and you keep them. I pray, I decree and declare that from this day, everyone at the sound of my voice, everyone that belongs to this church and those associated with them, I decree and declare that from today, we will remember the covenants of the Lord and we will be reciprocal in our efforts to remember the one who died for us. In Jesus' name, amen.